Okay, so thanks for coming this morning to the morning panel. I probably wouldn't be here on this topic if I didn't have to come, so I appreciate you guys coming. So we're gonna cover a couple things. I'll tell you, the breakthrough for me on what to talk about here was when I realized that I should not talk about my company, and that I should just talk about other stuff that we've learned from being in my company. And so hopefully I can get some from you, and I know this is, you've done this 1,000 times, but just to get a sense, how many people here work on content or bloggers? Great. And then, so what do the rest of your people do? Are you technology people? Or, yes? There's technology. How many people are technology people? Okay, so that's the other, I think. And then, is there any business people here? Oh, there's an advertising person. Sucks. That sucks. Okay, because we were going to talk badly about advertising, but... yeah, you're not advertising on my side, so I really don't care. So, okay, so we are going to have an honest conversation about advertisers. I'm pretty rough on them. I don't do the advertising side of our business, such as it is on our site. And so I have an opinion that probably many of you share, but it's up to us to figure it out for them, as opposed to them figuring out the way that they have normally done. And I'm unfortunately going to pick on the person in the front a lot, I think. So basically, word of mouth and advertising. In general, you know, a reporter called me about what I was going to talk about. Very skeptical. She thought I was going to talk about, like, you know, seating people to talk about reviews when they got paid. And so, but to me, it is very much a marriage made in hell. We're going to talk about why it's so terrible and why people are doing such terrible things. But it's really incumbent on us to help solve that, to make it... some people are buying products. People want to know about what people have to say, and it's kind of up to us to figure out how to do it well. So here's the big change, and to me there was a sea change with why you should care about this now versus how it has been, you know, in the text world of the web. So marketers, they've screwed it up already, and they're going to continue to screw it up. And it's all their PR firms, right? Because the PR firms are the only ones who are supposed to be in conversation. The ad agencies, definitely. That's one way, funnel, right? But PR agencies are the ones who've been screwing this up. And the marketers are totally ignorant about what they're doing wrong, and so they're not able to correct it. And the PR agencies are, at least they're trying, but, you know, there's only so much to be said for doing it really poorly. The other people that should care, and this is hopefully a theme that we can bring out today, is you guys, the content creators and the developers that work for them, and the business people who set up these darn deals that can get us all in trouble, you need to care too, because your users are looking to you to help make sure that as you're solving the new problem for marketers, you all blah, blah, blah about, oh, they're all doing a bad job, and when I say you all, I mean we all. Our community is looking to us to help solve that so we can keep giving them what we give them, but we can make some money out of it in a way that is not inauthentic to them. So just on Beacon, on the Facebook Beacon, just... at a total disclosure, we participate in that, and I'll talk about what happened, but we never got any flack for it. Facebook did. Facebook was the one who was seen as abusing their users through privacy. So you guys can get in trouble just as badly as the marketers can if you're inauthentic with your own users. So then the question becomes to me, why are we talking about this now? Why didn't we talk about it for the past 10 years about how sites need to be careful about advertisers? So 50% of negative anonymous written reviews, and most written reviews, let's face it, are anonymous, can be competitors. These are stats that when I talk to people because of the business I'm in, and we'll talk a little bit about that. 50% can be competitors. And as a matter of fact, just this morning in media posts, was a story. Online company accused of posting self-serving reviews. Oh, that's something to sue over now. And even the story itself, when they asked about a lawyer, where they asked a lawyer who's in digital rights management what they thought of this, this is what it says. It's very difficult to bring suit. Seems like a bit of a stretch. And then the last part was, he also said that people have a First Amendment right to post comments using pseudonyms. So if you're anonymous, flame away. If you're inauthentic but just put under a pseudonym, keep doing it. And that's the kind of text side of the web that has been evolved. And so it's interesting now, though, the shift from that, which seems like a very 1999 story, happening now, but what really has been happening is social media roadkill has gotten a tremendous amount of press. So words like Sony, Walmart, McDonald's, Facebook, that's a tremendous conversation now that those marketers and the community sites they're working with, they're really getting in trouble. They're really getting bad reputations and it's really getting publicized. So what has changed? The one thing that I was looking up was reviews. How impactful are they to consumers, right? Because a lot of the, what we're talking about or what I'm talking about today is review product reviews. So here's this was last year. So the number one thing is recommendations from consumers. So the first thing I just want, and this is the types of advertising trusted by internet users. So first of all, I just want to point out, they called recommendation from consumers advertising. The first, I just have an issue with that, but that's kind of a side point. But the second point is, look at the third one, consumer opinions posted online. That was separated from recommendations from consumers. So that totally confused me. Why was that? They saw it as two totally different things. There's recommendations from consumers, and then there's things posted online. So even Nielsen, who, you know, that's generally reputable, and, you know, they make their reputation on getting this stuff right, they separated the two. Because text reviews and the anonymity of it has really made it questionable whether or not those are really recommendations from consumers. So that was, to me, a wake-up call about what has changed, because now, so this is what you get from Amazon, text word of mouth. So you can't, you probably can't see this, but it says, this is for a Glade, okay, this is a crazy thing, but it's called a Glade plug-in light show, whatever. So it's a product, okay? And I tried to get a very base product that's not a huge, you know, technical product, because I just wanted to make a point, and I'll show you in a second, which is, we love this item. Our Yorkie sleeps in our two teenagers' rooms alternating nightly. It's a great night light without being too bright, just enough light for her to be able to get around without keeping the teenagers awake. The changeable scents are nice too. There are many varieties available. And that's from Band Mom. So here's who Band Mom, so you think, okay, that might be authentic. Probably not, but who is Band Mom? This is Band Mom's profile. It's nothing. There's nothing there. So Nielsen looks at that, and that's throughout the web, right? This is Amazon. And so Nielsen looks at that and says, I guess that's two different things, because I don't know that that's a recommendation from a consumer. So those are, so that's one thing. So now what I'm going to show you is a little, the promise is the only thing that I'm going to talk about what I really do. But I'm going to tell you now what's changed on those reviews, what's changed for consumers, and how powerful their voice is right now versus that, which we've all been used to for 10, 15 years. So what I'm going to show you is a video review by somebody uploaded to my company, Expo TV. And we can talk about how we got it, and we're going to talk about that. But it's what it is just for entertainment's sake, because if you're not interested in researching the Glade plug-in light show, it can be very boring because you don't surf text reviews just to get a kick. So I didn't want to do that. So what we did was we pieced together a bunch of them so you could get a flavor for what a video review could be. But so here's Band Mom, and here's what Expo is.
Hey, Expo TV.
Hi.
Here we are again with another episode of the continuing saga of making America smell better.
We're going to talk about Glade's light show today.
This is the Glade Scent Stories light show.
We have a couple of these in the house.
We put it in our daughter's room.
We have one in our daughter's room.
I think this is something that would be kind of fun to have in a kid's room.
And that entertains her when it's time for her to go to bed.
She's a real big fan of them.
But it's nice because it changes colors.
It's got a little button on the side here that rotates fast through three different colors.
A green one, a red one, and a blue one.
These buttons, you can turn it on or off, and you can adjust how quick the lights go and the different lighting patterns that are used. As you can see as I press the button here.
Real bright, kind of medium bright, and as dim as it gets.
But the interesting thing about it is that it's an air freshener. As you can see on the back tree,
there's a dial to set how strong you want the fragrance to be, which is nice because you can turn the fragrance down really pretty low and it isn't going to overwhelm you.
And then you turn up the dial or turn down the dial depending on how much air you want freshened.
You get a little bottle of scented oil.
A little canister of air freshener.
Put it in the bottom of the holder.
And you just open it up Take your normal little Glade refill scent thingy-majiggy, dump it in there, push, it kind of locks in, you snap it closed. When you're done, open that up, push that back, and out it comes.
Whoops, and I just dropped it.
Sorry about that.
And it's fantastic. It really livens it up, makes it smell nice and fresh.
And as you can see, this gives you an experience not only smelling good, but it's kind of trippy at the same time.
The Glade Scent Stories by S.C. Johnson, a wonderful product, a nice air freshener, and a cool little nightlight for your little one.
Enjoy.
So God love them for doing this kind of stuff. But now, do you know what a Glade light show scent story is? Do you know what it does? So do you believe that I'll pull you guys later, but you can see how you can imagine that if there were rules about how they were uploading this stuff, that this would be, you would consider this authentic. You would consider this their true opinion. You would consider buying it if you were looking for that or had a lifestyle like them and you wanted to do it. So that's the difference to me between what has happened on the web and now the voice that consumers have. They had a voice before, but it generated a very anonymous, impersonal discussion that someone actually had to separate them from consumer recommendations in a survey. And here, this is a consumer recommendation if it follows certain rules. If I told you that Glade paid them, if I told you that Expo paid them, if I told you that they weren't paid, how would that change whether or not that was a true recommendation and who could get in trouble for that? So here's a little bit more just about the social web, which is, it's a new user review. It's a new consumer voice, and it's personal. This is a profile on Expo of a consumer, but how many other profiles are there out there now where the web is very personal? So how does this being personal affect what's happening on the web? So word of mouth. So think about word of mouth. And again, this goes back to the Nielsen survey. Nielsen will probably call me and go, that's not what we meant, but whatever. It's how I saw it, which is word of mouth used to be very one-on-one. And so Nielsen didn't see a consumer review as word of mouth. So if you think about the people that, and you know, you might consider some of this part of your circle of word of mouth and some of it not, but you know, I would actually consider somebody who I thought was a good salesman, who I trusted, to give me impressions about a lot of different products in that. But you know, you also had, you know, some crazy neighbor who you knew was into cleaning his yard, and so you'd go to him for yard stuff. So there's just a lot of very personal connections on word of mouth. But what's happened, and even with the web, the emergence of the web in the 90s, it still didn't break through word of mouth. So now what's happened, though, is that the social web has made those connections farther than just the people you know. So what's happened, is that for friends, now who are your friends? So there's Facebook and MySpace and other places that are connecting your friends to people you don't know now. And now that's part of the conversation of extending word of mouth past just the people you know. And amateur experts, Yelp, it's the 20-something hip crowd locally, that extends your word of mouth. It extends the reach because on Yelp, you know them. They have pictures. They have backgrounds. They want to be known for their personal opinions. They're not just shooting in on an anonymous basis. Yelp doesn't want that. They use your first name as your member name. Not that that's a big thing, but you know, it's just that's how they built their company. And bloggers, you have become part of the extended word of mouth network. So bloggers are now people, not corporations, not even experts, although I know some of you think you're experts, but you're not what was considered an expert, and you love that. So that's part of now a new extended word of mouth reach. So what happens is, in this chart, there's a lot more chances to get in trouble. There's a lot more chances to mess it up, to screw it up, to go in and like say, you know, inject yourself in one of those farther outreaches. And advertisers, God knows, have done that already. And Facebook has done that already. And so there are things that we need to be careful of. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you some examples of different things that could be construed as word of mouth by different people. I just want to take a poll with you guys. I think what we can do, and so there's actually two slides that we're gonna build about whether or not your opinion is that this is word of mouth or not. And so I actually need you to raise your hand when you believe in something, because if you don't, it'll just count as if you voted the other way. So you're gonna get counted whether you like it or not. But I just want to ask you guys whether or not this is word of mouth. So the first one, clearly, a friend telling you about a new camera. She says she bought it, she loves it. So that's clearly word of mouth. Okay, so let me not think that's word of mouth. Okay, you have crazy friends otherwise. Oh, and by the way, you know how I open it up and you think, I don't want to know what these crazy people think in the audience? So the crazy people are the ones who are going to give us our extreme points. So let's let the crazy people have a little say here, even though we know there are crazy people in the audience. And they're the ones who talk. So the second one, a blogger you follow is paid by an advertiser to write about their products. And he says he absolutely loves them. Is that word of mouth? How many people say yes? Okay, so there's a couple people. A colleague got a free camera from some of these programs. They got a free camera from the manufacturer. And she tells you that she absolutely loves the camera. Is that word of mouth? How many people? How many people say no, it's not word of mouth? Okay, so we're going to talk about why you think not. And you might even sway some of them, because I don't think everybody's thinking about why. It's interesting that y'all sit together. Online review by TechGuy3492 about the new camera he says he bought and he absolutely loves. Is that word of mouth? Okay, so just so you know, that's what's happening on the web right now. So that just wanted to show you how right I was. So we're gonna talk about why some of these might be word of mouth and some of them might not. So let's just talk about what I'm going to do is actually put up words that you guys think define word of mouth or not. And I can flip back to this just to give you ideas. Does anybody want to yell out a word that makes word of mouth, makes you think it's word of mouth? What? Friend? Why friend? I have to undo this because I can't do it in presentation. So he says friend, but what do you mean by friend? Somebody said trust. Is that what you mean by friend? So what do you trust? So what do you trust of a friend? You know them. Okay, so you know them. So that matters. Do you know them? I'm going to bold that. Other? Unbiased. Okay, so let's dig into unbiased, because I think there's a lot of gray area about what is unbiased. So I think we all agree on unbiased, so I'm just going to, I'll highlight that. But let's plumb that a little. What makes something unbiased? Let's define that. Oh, did you have something else you want to say? Go ahead. Authentic. Love it. Authentic. So, and by the way, not all these are right or wrong. What we're going to do is we're going to actually show you that everybody has people have different opinions about where it's authentic, where it's word of mouth, where they know the person. Okay, so unbiased. Somebody said unbiased. What is unbiased? Oh, sorry, go ahead. Unpaid. That you think means unbiased, right? Unpaid by whom? So if you're a reporter and you get paid by your newspaper, does that bias you toward those advertisers? So if Expo pays for reviews, but all reviews, or an advertiser's paying you for a review. So Expo pays for all reviews. It's okay to slam me, I don't mind, because I'll just put out a press release about how stupid everybody was. Where does the bias go in being paid? What does the payment have to do to make you biased? Okay, so what would you call that? I'll write it, but obligation, nice. I didn't think of that word. I'm sorry, I'm getting in my email. I don't know how that happens if my Outlook is closed. Does anybody know how that happens? Obligates the reviewer, right? What else can make the payment? What about the payment can be? Excellent. So you spent money. Right. Yes. So what motivates, what motive in particular? That's a good one, though. I never thought of motive. So what do you mean by motive? Do you mean what is influencing them? Yeah, why they're doing it. Okay. Other thoughts about, so think about this. What was the one that we, that was it this one? So that group over there, there's a, was it a bunch of people that thought that one was okay? Oh, wasn't that was number two? Oh. Okay. They said that that was not word of mouth. Thank you. Did you guys want to elaborate on what, why you didn't like that? So. So the thing is that maybe you're less hardened. Maybe, right? So camera, see, the camera's free. It depends on who you are and what your motives are. Right, but you're, it's questionable, right? It's totally questionable. And yes. Is what? Okay, so that's interesting. So what you said was perspective of the perspective of the buyer, hearer. I don't think that's a word, but whatever. We're a bunch of tech people here. We don't have to speak English. So, so it's the perspective of the recipient, the receiver, or you know, if we're talking about. So, okay, so that's part of it. So, is there, are there other things? So, I think one of the things that we're talking about is, what is the expectation? What is the disclosure that's been happening? But even the disclosure itself, you can disclose all you want, and that can pop you out of word of mouth, right? For the, for your users who are using, there's, and there's a relationship, I think, that you build with the reviewer. So do you know the reviewer? So that's the new thing that really hasn't been around in the web prior to the social networks. So until you could get social, how could you ever know who that person was? And it was a lot harder. I'm sure some of you guys are in text communities where you start to know somebody. Do you really know them? Like, are you sure that's a guy? Are you sure that's what's happening? So that's part of the question I think that's happening is, so if we go into this and we look at the attributes, so some of you had said, know the reviewer. You have a relationship with the reviewer. You've created something with the reviewer. Whether it's a blogger who you've learned to trust, or whether it's somebody on Expo who you just know is a mom just by looking at her. So there's some relationship with the user or the reviewer that's important. The other thing, so there was a lot of question about motive. There was a lot of question about bias. So, so we can put motive and bias. There was some about disclosure. And was there any other big, is there any other big pop here? Oh, there was some conversation about whether the opinion was credible, right? Whether you got it from manufacturer, you got it as a gift, or you paid for it. There was some discussion about whether or not it was a credible opinion as a source. So, so one of the, yeah. The text ones, yeah. 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 Yeah, but that's a lot of work. That's a, you know, so what he's saying is, sorry. Yes. And so what's happening is what the text web is and the anonymous web has created is this place where you just can't create a know the reviewer situation. You can't really go in and know who that is posting and know what they're saying. And it's a lot of work to figure it out, and you still could be wrong. So, you know, they've trained themselves about how to write a text review, the letter U and R instead of you are. And, you know, there's a lot of things that people are doing that they know how to do to try and fool you. Is there, yep? Yeah. So would you say one of the ways to kind of check word of mouth is whether or not all the opinions were able to be seen, whether or not, you know, they weren't biasing, you know, whoever's the platform is not biasing them in any way, that there's some level of whether or not all opinions are published, all can be seen, and however you look for them, and I think that'll change between text and video, but as you move through it, there is some level of whether or not it's a platform for all opinions, where it's open, and that gives it that partially gives it the credibility. Whether or not a reviewer covers both sides, there's only so much you can do, but whether or not they could and get published, that helps understand whether or not something is, I think, authentic. So there's some authenticity that's there. So just the one thing is there is a range between paid advertising and word of mouth. So one person's gift is not, you know, if you didn't pay for it, it's not word of mouth. And another person's, if it was a gift, it's okay if you use it and you really know it. So there's a lot of shade of gray, and that's where a lot of the problems can occur. And so let's look and check this against a couple of sites. So let's do a vote on Yelp. So Yelp, can you get to know the reviewer through Yelp, the people that use it? Yes, right? Does anybody say no who knows Yelp? Okay, so you can know the reviewer. Does it seem like there's any incentive there for motive or bias? What's the incentive there? Let's just say it's if you know the reviewer, so you can actually filter it out. Yeah. Yes, and that's, I think, why there'll be 1,000 sites as opposed to just one, because everybody's looking for different things. So I think, again, that's the range that people are going to play on. And that's, again, I'll show you where people can get in trouble. So we'll put, do people disagree that Yelp has sets up a motive for bias? Okay, so we'll say no. Disclosure, are they pretty good at disclosure? You have to... they tell you if there's an advertiser. It's pretty separated. They try to tell you if there's an advertiser. They give you the background of the person. Okay, so, and then open opinion, do they publish both positive and negative? Okay, so then there's Current TV. So Current TV is also user-gen. This is a program that they have that they are soliciting for commercials. So it's not really user-gen, but you can imagine that, you know, it can go that way if mistreated. So the assignment is create a VCAM that illustrates how T-Mobile Sidekick keeps its users connected all the time. You can focus on several Sidekick brands and family of products or the new Sidekick LX. And here are some ideas to get you started. So that's an assignment that they're giving to people to upload videos. So looking at that, do you know who's creating that? No, right? So is there a motive for biasing? Yeah, so I'm going to say no means bad. There is disclosure, possibly. I don't know how they do. I think they do run a pre-roll that says this is part of the VCAM program. So I'm just going to give them credit for that. And then open opinion. So do you think they're going to publish a bunch of crappy ones? Yeah, so no. So that doesn't work. So I'm going to put no motive, no bias. I'm trying to keep the positives yes, the negatives no. Okay, so the last one, Facebook Beacon. So the Beacon program. So you guys generally know what it is, right? So you did something personally. You did it. And it shows up on your news feed, and that goes to your friends. So you did it. You've got a profile. It only goes to your friends. So do you know the person who did it, who generated that? Yeah, it was your friend. You absolutely knew who that was. Otherwise, you shouldn't be getting their news feed. So you have their profile. You know who they are. Is there any motive for you on Facebook to buy something you didn't want to buy? So no motive. Disclosure, I guess that's a disclosure. It's not meant to say, was it disclosed to you as a reviewer? It's more, I think that's like a weird point, but the point is, so Facebook didn't have necessarily the disclosure, I think, right? Would you agree that's part of how they got in trouble? Oops, sorry. And an open opinion, it was no. And so these are the things that can help guide a site to determine whether or not they're tapping in to word of mouth, whether or not they're going to be seen doing word of mouth. And that's part of, I think, where we can go with this, which is when you look at these different attributes, where do you as a blogger or where do you as a writer or as a community site, where do you fall on these different axes of things that people look for as a user review, as a word of mouth? And just remember, you're part of now the bloggers that are out there, the community sites that are out there, you're part of word of mouth in a way that you haven't been before. And I think that's where things can get screwed up. So here are some thoughts that we've had about where you can screw up. So one of them is you gotta be transparent. So that doesn't even mean if you're transparent, that doesn't mean that you become word of mouth. It just means that you'll probably not get in too much trouble if you cross that line with your users. So the first thing is it's not how to be word of mouth, because just because you disclose doesn't mean, just to say, I got paid by it. That just puts you on the axis where people can now determine themselves whether or not they should listen to what you're saying. But you should know, your users should know and be able to make that determination. The second thing, and this is where Facebook screwed up, is know the line between for your users. Where do the people who are coming to your site, what are they looking for? So that guy there said, I'm looking for a balanced review. Another person said, I'm looking for someone who's an expert. But you as a content provider, you need to know who your users are in order to know where they fall on that scale. What are they looking for? If you get free stuff, Walter Mossberg gets free stuff. We still read it, or some people read them, right? And you think that's probably pretty unbiased, but he got the free stuff. But that was okay because you had a relationship with him, you knew who he was, and you knew his motives, and you assessed for yourself whether or not you could count on that as a word of mouth piece. He's not an expert. I don't think he thinks he's an expert on technical. So that's where you have to know where your readership is and where they trust, where you're going to cross that line. And so here's the hard part, which is you have to select how you're going to be playing with your advertisers. And you should be only taking advertisers that understand those rules. And that's hard. It's one excuse to say, oh, that's why I'm not making as much money as I could be. But on the other part, it's what keeps your business going afterwards. So if you know your audience and you're being transparent about it, and you're trying to stay within the bounds of where your audience lies, then you can define for advertisers how they come in and play with you. You define for them, and you have to move them. And it's a hard-ass job because they are so clueless about how to play in two-way conversation. And so that's what needs to turn for all of us, which is, do advertisers, through either their companies that they're using or themselves, can they move from where they are now to listen to us about what our community, how they want to hear from the advertiser, how they want the advertiser to participate with them? So where the advertisers screw up. So I think there are three main places that the advertisers screw up. They work with sites that don't know their audience. So what I'm going to say about Facebook was it didn't know its audience. It didn't know how precious privacy concerns were about buying something. It didn't recognize that that was something that was going to piss you off. And so it didn't know its users. And so it totally stumbled because it thought, that's okay, they're not going to care. They want to share everything on their newsfeed. But it didn't know. It didn't know where their users were. So manufacturers have to pick sites, not that they shouldn't pick Facebook, they should pick sites that know its user, that respect its user, and that has built a reputation on serving its user, which means that you have to know your site. And the other thing that they just completely, completely whiff on is listening as opposed to talking. So the other part of what they do is they come into our communities, and they just want to talk at our communities. And our communities have a lot to say. They are now in control of the word of mouth. They now have a much broader reach and are much more powerful with what they think. Because now, as you saw, the number one thing people trust is recommendations from consumers. It's the number one thing, despite all the bad things you guys say about how crappy they are. It is the number one thing that they trust, which is when they know the person, you know, when you go through our attributes, when they know the person, when they can detect the bias, when there's known disclosure, those are all the reasons that that we're so much more powerful as our voices. So advertisers need to change the metrics that they have to be less about how many eyeballs saw and how much more engagement there was. And that's tough for us. That is very tough for us because you're dependent on those guys changing what they do. And that's something that it is going to take a while, but as they stumble and fall, hopefully they'll be more and more open to listening to what we think is a great way to play with our community. So that's part of it. And the last one is they need to get a lot more brave, and it's grow a pair of whatever, but they need to get a lot more brave than the way that they act now. So the consumer has the messaging. The consumer has the, I hope you're not taking that note, but the consumer has the voice. They have the power now. And the advertisers need to understand that that's what they have to let go of. And that's what is not happening well. And so they're playing in a place where they're saying, we actually had an advertiser ask us to take down some of our reviews. They found a bunch of reviews. It was a toy manufacturer. They have a set of people who I don't think they really want buying their stuff, but they buy it anyway, and they play with it in a different way, and so there's a lot, but they buy it, right? And so they wanted to pretend that community does not exist, and so they asked us to take it down. So they need to be a lot more brave. Those people are buying their stuff. It's already out there, but now you can see them, and you know what they're doing, and they're a lot louder because they're friends now, and they influence other people. And so the advertisers need to get brave about letting their advertising message be controlled by others in certain places, in places that they trust will work with them, and invite them into the conversation in the right way, with disclosure and authenticity and non-bias. And so that's part of, I think, where the advertisers need to go, which is let go of a piece of what they currently do and start embracing another piece. But we need to be smart about it, too, because we've screwed up as much as they have on how they should participate. So I think that's part of what we all kind of need to learn from it. So are there questions at all, or do you want to discuss anything? Oh, there's a microphone. I don't think we need the microphone. Is there any thoughts? Yeah. What was the content that they asked to take down? We said no, and they didn't buy. So there was a small other piece that we worked with them on, but we asked them to participate in a much bigger way, and it didn't. We turned it down. So, but it literally was us turning them down because they said, "If you do this, will participate. So, other questions? Yeah, a gift or unpaid, yeah. And somebody else said, if you bought it, then you have skin in the game. And I think that, again, what we have to be careful of is that's not a black and white line. So that's your thought. That's how you want to see it. But others can have a different opinion, especially if they followed that person for a while. If they followed them for a while and trust them. So your mom gets something free and tells you about it. You trust your mom anyway, even though it was free. It doesn't really well. So yeah, maybe I shouldn't use your mom. But you know, so it depends on that. I think depends on some of the things that we had talked about, which is if you put it against this, it doesn't say that you have to have gotten. So we have here no motive, no bias, right? So some people think that is totally biasing you, but other people don't. And so there's a continuum, and you have to know your users who come to you. What do they think? Do they think that that's bias or not? How much do you have to disclose of that? And does it matter to them? But does that matter? So if that matters to you, does it matter to you? So there's care about the product, but what I'd say is I found it informative. I don't really care if they cared about it. I feel that it was truthful. So to me, that's, again, a continuum of whether or not your users really care, or were they just trying to get information? Were they just trying to do it themselves to figure it out? Do you have to be a passionate, enthusiast, Glade light show plug-in guy in order for me to believe you? Or do I believe those three people who spent their, how much is it? It's like $20 or something. Spent their money, bought it, and now had something to say about it. So you don't have to listen to it, but it doesn't make it not authentic, not biased, not knowing the reviewer. So there's just a continuum, and you just have to put everything against that. So not everything is not authentic, you know, biased, and just because you don't particularly happen to like that. Yeah, and actually that's, I think, where companies like us and companies like yours need to figure out ways to get it done. So the one thing I'll show you is that I don't want to talk about us, but I do want to talk about filtering these things. And I think, you know, the bloggers have the same problem. How do you show that you're better? And so what we do is imagine if the bloggers had this, we take all the reviews and we actually have people voting on them. And we bring up the ones that people thought were great. Whether or not they're enthusiastic, they could just be informative and authentic. They don't have to love it or hate it. They could just be a really solid, I got that. Thanks for that. I know whether I'm going to buy it or not. I don't really give a shit if you liked it or not. So that's part of it. And you know, one of my favorites is I hate the iPod. This is what she says about it. She doesn't be like, I hate it, sucks, I'm going to throw it away and light it on fire, which is what you see on YouTube. What she says is, the earphones suck, the trackpad is too sensitive, and the iTunes sucks. I can guarantee you agree with some of that. But you buy it anyway, because you overcome that. But it was good information, and she wasn't passionate about it. She was just informative about it. So what we do is, again, imagine if the bloggers had this, an ability to have everybody vote, have everybody say whether or not it's great, and then we select the ones to show. We say whether or not they were great. There's features. There's I love it. There's on the fence. And if you don't like it, we say not a fan. But we pick the worst one of the best quality. And so we're trying to help you actually do that. But in order to do that, it's not clear that you have to be a huge enthusiast, crazy passionate about everything. in order to be helpful to other consumers. But it does help. Totally agree. It totally helps. It does kind of bias you, though, too. Like when I hear an Apple fan talking about it, I just turn it off. What's the point? Yeah, well, no. Yeah. Are there other thoughts? Yeah. It's a great question. So when I say transparency, I always say just in case. Just be transparent just in case. So no matter what demographic, just be transparent. On the sensitivity of it, I don't know if other people have thoughts on sensitivity yet. So he's an expo plant, just in case none of you showed up. So this is, and he's actually my husband. So And I think it's also, it's not just that there's so much that they just assume everything's biased. I think it's part of it. But also, I think that they can smell out they're so used to these sites that they can smell out when the motivations are a little skewed, when there's a lot of potential for fraud. I think they kind of see that faster than, they do everything faster than us. And I think that's one of the things they do faster, is they figure out what they're going to get from that site and what that site's going to provide. And I think they're perfectly fine with totally biased captured sites that are disclosed that I'm owned by this conglomerate company. I think they're fine with that because, again, when they go in, they know what they're getting into. So it's okay to be biased. It's okay to have all those things as long as the people who are reading you understand that that's where you're coming from. You might have a smaller audience than if you were authentic, but I'm sure you'll have some audience. So that's not the problem. Are there other thoughts? Yeah. Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. We're so busy bashing everything. I thought if anybody was doing it well, we wouldn't have launched this company. No, I guess eBay. eBay is a great social site. To me, the sellers are biased, and they're very clear about that. So I think eBay is one of them. I don't know, Bill, if there's any other that we really... Oh, Yelp. We love Yelp. It was painful to put no on some of those things because I do love Yelp. I personally don't think that the motives are incorrectly set up. And I go to people who look like me who are reviewing, and I feel good about that. So I don't know. Do you guys think that anybody's doing it really well? Do you have any favorite? Well, because they have 700 people reviewing something, right? So you can just dig through the average. Yep. Yep. They do a great job. Yes.
You mentioned eBay, and I don't know if you touched on the beginning of the way.
Oh, we covered so much good stuff in the beginning.
Something that seems to be missing from the conversation about how do you vet out the broader sense of things. Most reviews are anonymous. I mean, yeah, and Yelp, you can get to know people. Most sites, you read a review, you have no idea who's written that review.
Yeah.
I think the reason eBay is a great example is that every review, even though sellers are biased, is tied to something that's a transaction.
Yeah.
And that helps vet out.
There's a reputation.
Right. There's
they have like reputation points or something.
That's
yeah. That's right.
Because it's tied to an actual transaction, you actually cannot leave a
right.
review or a feedback unless you have interacted, put skin in the game,
oh.
spent money, worked with that person. Now, to me, obviously, you're going to need sites that sort of bubble up and everybody can
yeah.
do it. But it seems to me there's no more powerful review, even if it's anonymous, if you know that an actual transaction took place.
Yeah, and so that's someone actually said that you actually bought it. So I think your larger point is if you actually bought it, there's a company called Bazillions out there, Power Reviews, and they're doing this actually own it thing where if you know that, so they work with retailers, and if the retailer sends an email saying, we know you bought this camera, so we'd love the review from it. So there are companies. One of the things we did as a rule early on was I just love mom reviews. But the and you know, she's using her baby. So if you think that's not an authentic, So nobody's going to use their baby to chill. Or I'm sure they will, actually. I totally take that back. So we made two rules. Number one, you had to show your face, and we think that actually transcends reputation points because you can size people up like that, and that's part of, we think, the social web. But the second part was you had to show the product. And yes, you could borrow your friends and review that, but you'd look like an idiot because everybody can see you, everybody sees your face. You know, it's just, you'd have to really be crazy to do that. And there's no incentive. I guess there is incentive to do that, but there's no incentive to then lie about whether you like it or not. The question is whether or not that was a credible opinion, because they didn't really own it. But so we make you show the product. So that's our way of trying to get around that you really bought the product. So you can see your face, and you can see the product. Yeah, and so Bill's point here is on disclosure, not disclosure, open opinion, is that? Okay, so disclosure, that I think the disclosure was working both ways. So it's not disclosure of actually done the transaction, it was disclosure of whether or not you knew it was going to be disclosed. But there is a point to say yes to that because it is full disclosure. It's a fact. You did that. So other thoughts, questions? Okay, I think we're about out of time anyway. So thanks anyway. I really appreciate the people who said something. So thank you very much. And the other people were nodding their heads. I totally appreciate that too. But thanks so much for listening. And let me know if you have thoughts about my product, about other things. Just go ahead and email me. Do not friend me. Do not friend me. But definitely feel free to contact me. Thanks so much, everybody. Thanks for coming in. Thank you.